Good morning, everyone. It's really lovely being in the house of the Lord. Well, actually, we're all the house of the Lord, isn't it? Because it's Emmanuel, God with us. God is in us, and together and individually, we're the house of the Lord. This morning, just as we're worshiping, before I start with my word, and before you start figuring out what does that mean, I was just reminded that Jesus tore the veil. Now, I don't know if you know what that means. We can go in a long discussion, but just for you to know this morning that you have access to the Father. Okay? So we sometimes forget what that is and who the Father is. Well, he's the one who created everything. He's the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He made you. He knows everything. He is in control of everything. And he says that we have access to him, to come into his presence. The veil has been torn. We can enter in. Don't know if that's a word for someone here this morning, but I just felt that in my heart. Okay, great. My name is Marichen. For those of you that know me, I am Afrikaans. So if I throw in an Afrikaans word, correct me or just throw up your hand and say, hey, this is an English service. Okay, or anything like that. I won't try Zulu, so don't worry. Although I did learn Sabona, Sambunani, those kind of things. Okay, but enough jokes. David Wilkerson says we mustn't make jokes on the pulpit, so maybe I shouldn't. We're talking about truths about the wilderness, but before we get that, we're going to turn to Luke 4. So if you have your Bibles here, we're going to read out of Luke 4, verse 1 to 14. I think it will also be on the screen, so you can just follow with me. Okay, starting from verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil has ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions. There's so much in 14 verses. There's 14 verses you think you can quickly read over when you have your quiet time or so, but when you go sit with this, you realize, wow, I don't actually have an idea what is happening here. So I read this a few months ago, and the Lord was just pushing it on my heart and laying it on my heart. And I'm like, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't know how in the world must I preach something that I don't understand. I'm not going to try and give you all the details of that 14 verses. I think we need a seminar for that. But what I want to focus on is a specific word for us this morning, which I believe the Lord has for us. And that is about the wilderness part. Okay, now the first picture, now there also you can sort of see, what is the wilderness? Okay, so in the real terms, like real terms, natural, those kind of things, the wilderness is a very dry place. Okay, it's a hot place. It's where the sun is quite hot. I know we're in Durban, we like hot weather, but there's no sea and there's no tree to go under. Okay, it's a dry, hot, and a very isolated place. It's not a place that you are like, hey, we're going to the wilderness this weekend, who's coming with? Okay? It's not one of those places. The wilderness is dry, it's hard, it's uncomfortable. Then when we come into the spiritual, what's the spiritual meaning of wilderness? So today we're going to talk a lot about not just the natural. I'm not talking who's here in a wilderness, saying who's here in a dry place in the natural. No, today we're going to talk about who's in a dry place, isolated place, lonely place, sort of, I don't know why I'm in this place, wilderness, that spiritual place. Someone said that that place is empty of all outward appeal, stimulation, joy, and comfort. So I don't know who of us maybe today find ourselves in that place. You know, as this word says, who led Jesus to the wilderness? The Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. You see, we find ourselves sometimes in a place and we're like, Lord, I'm sure you led me here. But now it's dry. It's quite lonely, actually. And I don't know why I'm here and if I can continue with this. Well, then I want to tell us this word today. I believe it's a word of encouragement, but also a word of great, I don't know how to say it, but something that God is laying on our heart and saying something for us, giving us food. Is that right? Okay, let me get into it. Okay, so there's four truths that I'm going to share with us. Like I said, I don't know everything. This is just something that's standing out for me. The wilderness is not a place to be avoided. Okay? Now you're like, hello, you just told us this is not a nice place. Okay? But the wilderness is not a place to be avoided. It's a place to be understood. Okay? And that's why I'm going to share with you four truths today. The first one about the wilderness. God is in it. We just sang a lot of songs about God, you're with us. Your presence is all we need. God is in your wilderness. Why do I say that? Well, firstly, he said, I'm Emmanuel, God with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The whole word says that the Lord will not leave us as orphans. But here, when we look at Luke 4, we see that it says the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. In other words, I don't believe that the Spirit's going to lead me to a place and then say, hey, Nola, you know, I'm leading you there, but enjoy it. I'm leaving, you know. Because that is not the God that we serve. If the Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness, don't you think he had a purpose of that? Don't you think there's a bigger picture? Isaiah 55 says, God's ways is not our ways. Although we truly want our ways. God's ways is not our ways. In fact, his ways is much higher. So, God is in the wilderness. Do you feel a bit better when you hear that? God has not left you. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to send you there. Let's see if you can cope with that. No, no, no. God is in it. Sorry, I'm working around. Should be okay now. Okay, Exodus 14 verse 3 says the following. Maybe I should just explain what's happening here. So the Israelites was coming out of Egypt into the wilderness. And on their way there, Pharaoh said the following. Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. In other words, Pharaoh, who is not a believer, saw the Israelites going into the wilderness, and he's like, they're wandering aimlessly. I mean, it's going to shut them in. Why is he saying that? Because he doesn't see God in it. We sometimes also talk like that. Yo, I just feel like I'm just shut in, you know? I just feel like I'm wandering around aimlessly. Why do we say that? Because we do not see God in it. We have the bigger picture. It's easy for us to say, oh, Pharaoh, really? You know what? The water's going to open. There's going to be the most miraculous miracles in that desert, in that wilderness. In fact, that's where God firstly started showing his like power, was in that wilderness. But we miss that. We say, no. People say about us that they're aimlessly wandering. I mean, they're actually captive. They're shut in. No, but the Lord says, I'm in it. God is in it. Is that okay? Is that a good first point? Do you agree with it? Good? Just to add to that, if you didn't believe me, there was a guy named John the Baptist. Have you ever read where he cried out from? The wilderness. I hear a cry in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. God spoke to John and trained him and equipped him where? In the wilderness. In a dry, hard, uncomfortable place. Not going like I wanted to go. That's the wilderness. One guy said, what's in the wilderness? Well, nothing. I don't know if you're there today feeling, well, I'm at a place like there's nothing. Like, what's happening here? Okay, good. I can see you are actually listening to me. That's great news. The second point is, in the wilderness, it is where God's mercy, guys, I don't know how often we speak about God's mercy, but where God's mercy leads us to intimacy. God's mercy leads us to intimacy. I'm going to explain this, and we're going to look at Isaiah 2. I don't have time to run through all the book of Isaiah, but please, if you have time, go read it. Go read it. Go meditate on it. Ask the Lord to show you what is going on in this book that you wrote. But in Isaiah 2, what's happening there, God is speaking to Israel, and he's portraying Israel as a woman who's married to a husband. Okay? But she left her husband. Why? Because she went after all the other stuff that the other people and the other lovers could give her. And then all of a sudden she realized, but hey, it doesn't really satisfy me. These other lovers and the other stuff that I'm getting from the other people, I'm actually going to go back to my husband. So here she goes, back to her husband. And the Lord says, no. You don't realize, my bride, that actually everything that you have is from me. In other words, you were seeking all these things from other people, but you didn't realize that everything actually comes from me. Maybe we're at that place today. We were thinking, I'm going to seek there and there, and I'll find this there and there, but you don't realize everything is actually from God. What you seek, what you need, you're actually just going to find from God. Why? He's the provider. He's the one who gives us everything. We shouldn't go running after other lovers and other pleasures and this will satisfy. No, it's only God who does that. So she goes back. She says, I'm going to go back to my husband, which is a good decision. I'm going to go back to my husband. But the Lord says, no, everything is from you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to take all those things away from you. So that you can see it's actually all been from me. And then what happens then? The following scripture, you're a bit before me, but you, okay, they already got the picture now. Anyways, therefore, behold, I will allure. Allure is the English word saying come. Something like that, okay? Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. And speak tenderly to her. Now, guys, all I see in that is mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy. Lord, you could have come and you could have just brought down your fire on this woman, on Israel, and said, you know what? You went after all the other lovers and you didn't come after me. Just die there. You can do that. Do you know that? But that's not our God. He's merciful. He's so merciful that he said to her, I'm going to take away those things so that you realize that actually everything is from me. And what? I'm going to allure you. I'm going to say, come into the wilderness where I can speak tenderly to you. That to me just freaks me out. Totally. He's not saying where I can come and condemn you. I mean, why did you do that? You know? What do you see in these lovers? No. He says, I'm going to speak tenderly to you. And what happens then? Isaiah 2:16. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my master. She's come into the wilderness. The Lord says, I will speak tenderly to you, and no longer will you call me my master. In other words, I'm not going to be like my slave. No. If we talk about my husband, what does it talk about? Intimacy. It talks of a place of relationship with someone. With an intimate relationship with someone. If God says, you're going to call me my husband, God Almighty, we just said King of Kings, You say, I'm going to call you my husband. This talks of a place of intimacy where I know your heart, where you impart your heart to me. Lord, I just went from other lovers. You took everything away from me. You lured me into the wilderness. You came and you spoke tenderly to me. And you said, no longer are you going to call me my master, but my husband. Do you hear mercy over this again? Incredible. Well, I'm feeling, yeah. Hosea 2 verse 20. Then the Lord said, I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And you shall know the Lord. There's one scripture in which I can't remember now where it is, but it says that as the Lord, as the Father knows Jesus, or as Jesus knows the Father, so we will know Jesus. That just is too big for my mind still. Like, Lord, how can I know you like that? And then this scripture says, in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Are you in a wilderness today? Do you know that Jesus is with you? God is in it? Do you know that he leads you by his mercy into this place so that you can come into intimacy with him? Does that make sense? Let me tell you a story. Maybe that will make a bit more sense to you. Okay, so this is quite a personal story. So I went to Cape Town, finished studies, went to Cape Town, worked for a few years. I was an amazing Christian. I really did amazing stuff, and I really knew the Lord, and no one could tell me anything, and I really did good. I performed very great in my work and in my sport. I got awards. I mean, what more do you want? Life is good. Then one day, everything went haywire. My family, messy. Stuff just failed. Things just fell apart. My friends just left me. I found myself in a very lonely place, in a very desert, deserted place, where no matter what I did, or I knew, I could not do anything that can fix my family. There's nothing that I could do. The Lord called me into that place. He said, listen here, my dear child, I love you so much. What are you going to do now? Well, there's only one thing that I knew what to do, and I said, Lord, I'm going to seek you. Because I realized nothing that I do can do anything now, but you can. So I'm going to come to you. Guys, I didn't know how to pray, I realized. When that happened, I realized I don't have a clue how to pray. I thought I was a queen of prayer. God said, no, come, I want to teach you how to pray. I'm going to teach you how you pray for your family. Was it easy? Definitely not. Did I experience God in new ways like never before? For sure. Did I learn more about him, about his heart and his grace and his faithfulness? For sure. The one day I was in my flatmate's room sitting in the sun, I'm praying. I said, Lord, what must I still pray? I can't pray anymore. Nothing's happening. A soft, small voice said to me, praise me. Praise me. It shifted my mind completely. I said, Lord, praise you. Do you see what's happening in my life? Praise me, the Lord said. I said, Lord, I'll praise you. I will praise you. I don't maybe feel it so hallelujah in my system right now, but I'm going to praise you. Guys, every time I've been in the wilderness, I stepped out there, and I was like thankful to the Lord who took me through that place where I could meet with my Father and where I could learn how to pray and where I could learn that he really, really, not just jokingly saying it in the Bible, but really, really loves me. Maybe I should tell another story. So last year, the Lord sent me to Durban. Last place I ever thought I'll go. Really? Just so that you know, I really love it here. Okay. Again, I found myself at a place where I didn't know why I came here. I was very alone. Praise the Lord for Mpumi, we became such good friends. But I found my place, and again, the only place I could go to was to God. I started walking with the Lord in the streets here, and I started praying, and I said, Lord, I was involved in so many ministries in Rondebosch. I did so many great things. You know, again, there's so many things that I did, but Lord, you were not in it. I was following my own ways. I was following what I thought I must do, and I forgot about you. I walked in the streets, and I was, Lord, I don't even know if I love you. Praise the Lord for this season. Praise the Lord for this wilderness where I can return to Him. Praise the Lord that I can have intimacy with Him. Amen? Sure, I want to tell you another story, but I won't. It's okay. Okay, let's go on. The third one. It is where the enemy comes with temptations. Ooh. In the wilderness, like we see with Jesus, the enemy comes with temptations. So I was thinking about this. I mean, if I go through a difficult time type of thing, or a dry place or a hard place, do I expect the enemy to be like, you know what, you're going through that already, I'm just going to leave you alone? No ways. If he came to Jesus and said to him, like, tempt him in the desert while Jesus was there fasting, do you think he's going to leave us alone? No, he's going to come with his temptations. He's going to come and see you are actually now very vulnerable. So this is truth that we need to know about the wilderness. That when we are there, God is in it. He will take us through his mercy to intimacy with him. And the enemy will tempt us. But I don't want to say that the enemy is dumb. You shouldn't say stuff like that. But yeah, he gave up his main guns because he pulled it out on Jesus, isn't it? So if he pulled these guns out of Jesus, we can definitely learn from it. Because I'm sure he took out the main guns for Jesus. Now what happened first? He said, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. There's so many interpretations for this, but I'm going to stick with this one today. In this desert time, do you remember Jesus was hungry? Remember that it's dry and it's hot. In this desert time, there's often something that we need. What did Jesus need? He needed food, right? Fresh bread would be amazing right now. And sometimes, or many times, when we walk through this desert time, the enemy will come and tempt us with those needs. I need that. And he tempts us in a way that, you know, we feel like, of course, I'm a child of God. Of course the Lord wants to give me that need. But the Lord says, it's not time for that yet. So what's happening? We're actually just focusing on ourselves. And what does the enemy want to do? He wants us to focus on us, not on God. What is your need in this time? Surely, how does he say to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, in other words, Alinda, I know you're going through this tough time, but if you are the Son of God, surely he will give you your needs. That's what he's saying. Just say to him, turn the stones into bread. Just make it about you. He will give it to you. I love Jesus' response. He says, no, man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, I shall not just live on what I need. I will live by every word of God. What does that mean? I will follow God's word and direction. Not what I want, but what he wants. If we look at the bigger picture here, we know Jesus is going to the cross. He's done his ministry here, but he's going to the cross. The enemy is tempting him and saying, no, man, come on. Make this about you. Make this about you. Make this about you. Not the people, not God. Make this about you. Fill your own needs right now. First temptation, we want to fill our own needs. And then sometimes in the wilderness, we want to command those stones to become bread right now because it's so difficult here. I've done this so many times. Sometimes God says, no, it's not time for that yet. It's not time for that yet. Okay? What's the second temptation? Luke 4:5-8. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Again, what is the enemy giving to Jesus here? Authority and glory. He says, I'll give you authority and glory. It's been given to me. Come, I'll give you the shortcut to it. I have it here on earth. I'm going to give it to you. Maybe we find ourselves in that place. Again, we're like, yo, you know, I know what God has called me to. I know where he's leading me to. But right now, the enemy is tempting me, saying, hey, just worship me here, and I'll give it to you. Quick. No problem. You know, I know you want to be that great this, or the Lord maybe has called you to that thing. Jesus, I know, you know, you're going to reign and rule, but here's a shortcut to it. Just serve me. Just worship me right now. Again, about me. I want immediate glory, immediate authority in whatever circumstances I am at. How does Jesus reply? No. I will serve the Lord God and him alone. First commandment. I will serve him alone. In other words, I will wait for his timing. I will move when he says I must move. Satan, I will not worship you. I will not make myself higher than God, or what I want, my authority and glory, higher than what God is saying. Are you still with me? Okay, great. Third one. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the enemy knows where Jesus is going. And he comes with his temptations. He says, come on, throw yourself off there. The word says that, you know, the enemy will take charge of you. Let's see if it will really happen. You see, Jesus, you're going on this journey, but do you really think the Lord will protect you? Do you really think he's going to be with you? Do you ever felt like words like that? I'm going to do this, but I'm not sure if the Lord, you know, is going to protect me. I'm not sure, you know, he set this out for me, but maybe, you know, he's not going to be with me. If those temptations come, you know it's not God. I said to the students on Friday, whenever you hear voices in your head saying, well, if you are a child of God, surely you should have this. Then you must know, deet, emergency lights going off. The Lord will not tell me if you are the Son of God. He will say, you are the Son of God. Okay? So for Jesus, he was like, no. I will not put the Lord, my God, to the test. Why? Because I know who he is. I'm not going to throw myself off a thing to see, is, you know, God going to protect me? I know he's going to protect me. That is who my God is. That's a third temptation. So if we go through them, the first one is provision. What do I need? What do I need? What do I need? Put myself above everything. The second one is authority and glory. I want that place. I want to come to that place. It's all about me. Come on. The third one is about protection. How often do we want to be protected? I want to be protected. Do you know what? I've got a God who protects me. He says he's my shield and my refuge. That is who my God is. So we must watch out for the temptations. And guys, what I shared with you today with these temptations, there's much more to it. I mean, you can go study it. But I believe this is the points that we can focus on today, that we shall not make it about me and what I want, but what is God saying? Where is he leading me? Because he is leading me. We just heard he is in the wilderness. And he will take this tough times. He will take this time to say, come to me. Come to me. Those difficult times that I've been in, those difficult times that was really challenging, do you think that I was just, you know, going to Lord and seeking Him? No, the one day I was driving home and things are not going my way and I'm like, Lord, I just want to end it now. Temptation was coming to me and saying, the Lord's not listening to your prayers. Do you really think He cares? Do we get thoughts like that? That's temptation. That's the enemy speaking to us. I'm so glad I didn't fall for that temptation. Praise the Lord through His mercy and His grace and His goodness, because that next day, things changed. The Lord gave my mom a dream that night. And the next morning, things changed. How can a dream change the whole family? Praise God for His goodness. He is in those hard times, and He will lead us through it. That's my third point. That's my fourth point. You walk out there with power. It hit me when I read it the other day. It started with Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit, or full of the Holy Spirit, went into the wilderness. And then He walked out there in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then later, I think I also have the verse here, the people said he was ministering in power and authority. We sometimes don't want to use the word power. Do you know what? That power is not our power. That's the power of God in us. And let me just say, we don't go through the wilderness because we're like, I'm going to get power. Woohoo! No. This is not what it's about. We work through this wilderness when we know that God is with us, when we decide through His mercy to come in intimacy with Him and say, Lord, I want to seek You. I want to know You. How do we walk out there changed? Every time we walk out there changed if we withstand the temptations. We walk out there in power. Now let's look at a guy like Moses. And I think you all know Moses. At a stage, I wanted to call my son one day Moses, and then I decided, no, really, we'll call his son Moses. No, I'm joking. Anyways, I just wanted to just get your attention here. It seems like you're all in the other world. There was a guy named Moses. So God, like, had a plan from him from the beginning. We read it. From the moment he was born, God protected him. He had a plan with him. I mean, he sent him into the palace. He was trained very well. And then he knew that he was there to save his people. How do I know that? In Acts 7, it says that after he's killed the Egyptian, he did it because he thought now the Israelites will see he's here to bring them redemption. But then, what happened then? The Lord sent him into the wilderness. For how long? 40 years. You know what sometimes happens with us? Like Jesus, just before he went into the wilderness, what happened to him? He was baptized by John the Baptist. Incredible. I think it must have been an incredible scene because it was the Holy Spirit that came down on him. It was God's voice that spoke to him, and Jesus was there. I mean, it's like the Trinity. It's like crazy. God just said to him, you're my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Imagine we have like times like that. We've had times like that when the Lord said to you, you're my beloved son. I have a calling on you. From that day, Jesus' ministry started. It says he was 30 years old and it was his time for the ministry. The 30 years before that, it was not time yet, but first he went into the wilderness. So sometimes we have that. We have the promises. You know, God gives us promises. He is a God of promise. We have those promises, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves where? In the wilderness, like Moses. Who's another guy? Joseph. Joseph was in prison. He had the visions, the dreams. He had the dreams. You know, he knew God has called him from something. He shared it with his brothers. Where did it end up? In the prison. Do you know what's amazing about both these guys? It changed in one day. It's only our God who can do that, right? In one day, Joseph was called out from the prison. In one day, all of a sudden, Moses found himself in the wilderness in front of a burning bush. We spoke about this at Awaken. Do you girls remember? Maybe not. I'll remind you. Moses coming to the burning bush. The word says it was holy ground. Why was it holy ground? Because Jesus was there. Because Jesus was there. How incredible is that? You know what? We walk through this wilderness, guys, not to say to the Lord, why on earth did you send me here? Why on earth are you sending me through all these things? Why on earth must I be tempted by the enemy so much? Who does that sound like? That sounds like the Israelites walking in the desert saying, you know what, Egypt's much better. I just want to go back. The Lord's like, I have a promise for you. There's something coming. And what's so crazy for me about the Israelites, they knew God was with them. They could see him every day that he was with them. And still they were like, and they actually missed it. Only Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. But I want to tell you something today. God sent his spirit to us. He sent his spirit in us to minister to us, to convict us, to lead us, to teach us, to comfort us, to not leave us alone. We, just as the Israelites, are not alone today. And we can celebrate in that. And you know what's great? I want to go through this wilderness experiences. Why? Because I get to know my Father. Why? Because I get to see, taste, and see that he is truly good. Someone said to me, why are you so ernstig about this? I mean, really, what's ernstig? Serious about this, you know? And I said to them, do you know what? There's nothing greater than knowing our God, Jesus Christ. There is nothing greater than that. And do you know what else? Jesus is also coming back. He's coming back for us, for pure and a spotless bride. And I always see this picture. Jesus is returning, and there's people that don't know him. And they've never heard about him. Am I going to be like, I was too serious? No. I want to be serious with Jesus. I want to seek him. I want to know him. I want to walk in his ways. Why? Because there's people that don't know him. And we see it on campus every Friday. But I want to tell you, God is not confused. He is not confused. He's sending people. He's sending people to spread the word of the Lord. I want to tell you, church, I love you very much. But I want to tell you something. God is calling us. Like John the Baptist, he's calling us. He's calling us to come out of that wilderness and say, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. There's one coming. Prepare the way of the Lord. Let's proclaim who he is. Let's proclaim that there's the one who saves, who takes us out of darkness into light. There's the one who sets us free. That is who he is. That's the king that I serve. And you know what? I want you to also know him. Let's be that church. Let's be that church that although we walk through the wilderness, we don't go there demanding stuff to become soft. No, we say, Lord, we're going to seek your face. John G. Lake said, he was this evangelist guy. He said, you know what? The best prayer that you can pray is say, Lord, give me a hunger for you. I want to be more hungry for you. Every day, I want to know you more. I would never want to be satisfied with where I am. And I want to tell you, that's why I go through wilderness sessions, whatever, seasons. It's because I get like content in where I am with the Lord, and I think I've got it now. And trust me, we're never there. Hallelujah, God is good. Shall we pray? Father God, we worship you today because it's all about you, Lord, and there's nothing, Lord, that can keep us from praising you, Father, David said, Lord, open my lips so that I will praise you. And Father, I pray that in whatever circumstances we are, no matter how hard it is, no matter, Father, what we're going through, that we know, that we know, that we know that you are in it. Lord, that you are with us. Lord, that your words say that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, that you are the one who goes before us. Lord, you are the fire by night and the cloud by day. Father, you are the spirit that's indwelled in us, Lord. So we worship you, Lord, this morning, because it's all about you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, when we find ourselves in those hard places, Lord, that we have the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to walk this road on our own, but we can ask of you and we can seek you, Lord. And this morning, Father, we say thank you, Lord, for the wilderness. Thank you, Lord, that the wilderness will not be a place that we never want to return to, but a wilderness, Lord, will be a place that we are so thankful for. Father, a wilderness is a place that we will testify of, where we met with God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend. Thank you, Lord, that you want to have intimacy with us as humans, Lord. We praise you for that, Lord, and thank you as a church this morning, Lord, that we can say, Father, we don't just want to be a church, Father, who does Sundays every day. Lord, we want to be a church that seeks you, that say, Lord, we're always hungry for more of you. Lord, we're always hungry for more of you, Lord, and we want to be a church that says, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus is coming back. Father, I pray that our church will not be about ourselves, Father. We don't just think about what's happening with us, Lord, but we'll cry for the lost out there, Father. That's where we will focus. Lord, we will cry for what others don't see, Father. We praise you for that. We praise you. We praise you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it will come into our hearts, Lord, that it will come alive in our hearts, Lord, that we can meditate on your word, Father, and we can know, Lord, that you are for us. Lord, that you are with us, Lord, and that you will lead us, Lord, and you will deliver us, Father, and you will make a way, Father, and your name will be glorified. We exalt you for that, Lord. We exalt you, Father. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you.